This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, deliver us from the deceit that we could do it by ourselves, but return to us the dream and the vision that we can do all things in you who strengthens us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On this second Sunday of Advent, we have the theme of peace. The type of peace that comes with Jesus that is not as the world gives peace, but the inner peace that can enable us to be centered and calm, even as the universe around us might seem to be crumbling. The characters we are given in the Advent stories give us lessons on how we can achieve that peace in our hearts. Today we hear the story of John the Baptist, who gives us great insight into achieving that peace. His mother, Elizabeth and Zechariah, two important characters within the Advent story as well, can teach us a similar message. We present to you a short interpretation of perhaps what might have gone through Elizabeth's own mind and heart.
Well, you know, spring chicken. That's the first thing my neighbor said to me when I told her I was pregnant. Can you believe that? Maybe she just didn't believe me, but I don't hold it against her. She'd been a tad bit cranky ever since she found that scorpion in her girdle drawer. Maybe she just didn't realize what a miracle this was for me. I mean, Zechariah and I had been trying to have a child of our own our whole lives. By the time most of my hair had turned gray and Zechariah's had turned loose, we had given up hope. But nothing is impossible for God. He seems to delight in making life out of barren places. And as if that wasn't enough, the angel who brought us this unbelievable news had even more to say. This child, our son, would be used by God to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. This was all too much of a gift to be real. And then I thought, well, how am I going to train this child for a job like that? Had those details covered too. And it keeps getting better. When I was about 6 months along, my cousin Mary came for a visit. And no sooner had she said hello than this unborn son jumped and flipped inside of me. Right then, God just opened my eyes so that I could clearly see that this young girl standing in my home was also with child, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. About 9 months later, we got the news from Bethlehem. And I looked over at Zechariah holding our very own miracle baby. I had one of those God moments. You know, when you just realize, you say, God just had different plans. He had brought us life in barren places. He hadn't forgotten about us. And he would never leave us alone again.
Elizabeth and Zechariah came to the realization of what their job was as opposed to what God's job is. It was the same for John the Baptist. Knowing that it is our job to continue to do what we can do as we wait for God to act. The people of Israel were waiting. They were waiting for years and years and years. In this section of Isaiah, they've been waiting for 30, 40 years. It's really the first Holocaust of the Jewish people as the Assyrians just continue to ravage their people and their land as they wait and they wait. And so Isaiah speaks to them, and I don't know if you noticed, but in the course of 10 verses this morning, he uses the word shall 19 times. This shall happen, and that shall happen. It's all this future shall stuff. And we ask the question, as they did, when? When will things get better? When will it get easier? When will I have the stability that I long for in my life? And we wait, and we wait for this future shall thing to come true. And all the while complaining to God and to our friends and to our families. But maybe what Elizabeth and Zechariah and John teach us is that we're no longer in the age of waiting. Maybe the answer to our demanding when is actually that even as we wait, we come to the realization that the world is waiting for us, waiting for me. We can sit back and wait for something to happen, something to make me be better, something or someone to comfort me, someone to make me happy. But everything and everyone is waiting for us to take action. If we can be like Elizabeth and Zechariah, and especially like John, and take ourselves out of the center of things, and instead recognize what is already in our midst, we're told that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As we say sometimes, it's already, but not yet. We can be so focused on the not yet that we miss what is already here. Yes, Jesus is going to come again at the end of time, but he already came. And the kingdom is accessible to us now. When we see too much of the not yet of our world, it is because we have made ourselves the center of our world and not him. How often do we decide in our arrogance that we have to take care of it all? That I know how things should be happening, and we end up finding that the world is wanting. The first spiritual director I ever had said to me something that has stuck with me all these years. The first steps of spiritual maturity is to take yourself out of the center of everything. The first step of spiritual maturity is to take yourself out of the center of everything. That's the first step of a spiritual relationship with God. The first step of a good friendship, a good marriage, a good ministry. To realize that it's not all about me. That other people aren't here to make me happy. That they might just have other more important things to do in their life. Only then, when I'm no longer at the center, will I begin to see the more of the kingdom that is available to me? To see into things, to see through things, to have insight into people, and as it happens, transformation occurs. We can think sometimes that we are very alone in this world. And when I do that, I deceive myself in such a way that everything and everybody disappoints me. Except me, of course. I'm sure you have met people that you know you're going to disappoint them from the get-go. From the moment you meet them, you know that you are just set up for failure. And chances are, it's more about them than it's about you, because that person's been disappointed once in their life in a deep way, and now they're just looking for more opportunities to corroborate the evidence and be convinced that you are disappointing me as well. We know how silly that approach is, and yet we seem to do it ourselves over and over again. Elizabeth teaches us, Zechariah teaches us, and above all, John today teaches us. Our job is to continue to strike the match. It is God's job to bring the light into the world. To prepare for Christmas is to put everything else and everyone else in that manger, not me. Everything is waiting for you. We'll know that when we take ourselves out of the center. Yesterday at our quiet day, I shared some of the poetry from someone who I've really grown attached to as a poet. His name is David White, W-H-Y-T-E. He's an American born, but he's born to an Irish mother and an English father. And consequently, his poetry is in somewhat of a Celtic flair. He was very attached to his mother, and his mother died unexpectedly. And he went into what one would describe as a rather great depression. And he was somewhat paralyzed and just sitting and waiting. And it was all about the shalls and the shalls and the shalls and not about the is and the is and the is. And so he saw the telephone as something that was a threat. Stairs were not an opportunity to go somewhere, but again, a threat. A door was a barrier to keep him inside rather than an opportunity to look out. And when he came to the realization of what John and Elizabeth and Zechariah teach us, he wrote this poem. It is called, Everything is Waiting for You. Everything is waiting for you. Your great mistake is to act the drama as if you were alone, as if life were a progressive and cunning crime with no witness to the tiny hidden transgressions. To feel abandoned is to deny the intimacy of your surroundings. Surely even you at times have felt the grand array, the swelling presence and the chorus crowding out your solo voice. You must note the way the soap dish enables you or the window latch grants you freedom. Alertness is the hidden discipline of familiarity. The stairs are your mentor of things to come. The doors have always been there to frighten you and invite you. And the tiny speaker in the phone is your dream ladder to divinity. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. The kettle is singing even as it pours you a drink. The cooking pots have left their arrogant aloofness and see the good in you at last. all the birds and creatures of the world are unutterably themselves. Everything is waiting for you. Amen.